You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. By the time Vic made his way back into the cockpit of the SS Acid Rat, the effects of the alcohol were gone. It was June that had found those pills back on some strange planet where they had made a delivery. It had never occurred to him to thank her. One of these days he would have to.
So, Argmon, how's Tootsie?
Argmon leveled Vic with a dark glare.
Hey, it's not my fault.
Argmon snorted. Okay. So I did buy SPX-39. The guy said it was a good deal. How's I supposed to know the machine turned out to be nuts? Argmon growled.
You did? When did you tell me? Was it before or after I had bought it?
Yeah, just sit there and be quiet. You thought SPX-39 was really going to help out until we got it back to the ship and it freaked out at its size. Then freaked out because we had a female computer system. Stupid thing is bonkers, and bad with the ladies. Maybe we should take it out for drinks.
Argmon laughed.
Making fun of SPX-39 always made Argmon laugh. Vic couldn't be sure if Argmon had heard the story, but Argmon had lost his brother the day Vic lost his father. It was a tough day for both of them, and they bonded immediately in their shared suffering. The dog beast wasn't good at negotiations, but he was an incredible pilot.
Vic!
The voice was SPX-39 over the ship's con system.
Go!
It appears that Tootsie is having trouble with a command you gave her. Should I abort the command or hardwire it into her psyche?
How was he supposed to know?
What command?
I can't be sure what the command was you gave her, but I think I can hardwire it in easier than wiping it out.
How long till she's up and running?
30 minutes.
Do it. We need to get moving.
There was a lengthy silence. Vic wasn't sure if SPX-39 was done talking. He was about to say something when,
I don't think she's going to like me being in here.
Where?
Her psyche. She kicked me out twice, and now she's mad at me.
SPX-39, fix her. Now.
There was another long pause. Vic's patience was wearing thin. He put his hands on the seat of his chair and was ready to go find SPX-39 and talk to him in person.
Good morning.
It was Tootsie this time. SPX-39 added,
She's fixed, sir, but she's going to be mad at me.
I don't care, Vic snapped.
You don't care that it's a good morning? Tootsie asked.
Sorry, Tootsie. Are you ready to get underway?
I need to reboot my system. Something seems to have changed. I need 28 minutes, 40 seconds. Shutting down now.
Glad to have you back, babe.
It was about time they got everything running properly.
Mike!
Hey, Vic, so what we done sitting around?
Stuff it, Mike. I need you to get the engines ready for a jump to Planchar. How soon can you be ready?
Well, there's calculations to be made, and I'll need to... Hey, what happened to Tootsie?
She's rebooting. She'll be back up in about 30 minutes.
Well, I can't do the calculations without her up and running.
There's no other way?
Well, I can tap into the GCP central office and use their navicomputer. I don't think that's a good idea, though.
Why not?
Vic knew why not. He was just goading Mike.
They'll drag us, for one. Tootsie didn't leave an untraceable trail.
Are you saying you can't cover up our trail once you're in there?
Vic, I'm good. I'm not a god. Even I can't get around the GCP computers. You know that.
I had to try.
How soon, once Tootsie is back up, before we can have our route and be on our way?
5, maybe 10 minutes.
Why don't you get up here and get something to eat?
Who's cooking?
June.
What, Vic?
The tone of her voice let him know she'd been listening.
Can you whip something up?
Vic, I'm not the mate of this ship. I'm not the cook either. You want to eat? Cook it yourself.
Whoops. Got her on a bad day. Aw, June, but you cook so much better than I do.
Please?
He did his best to sound sincere.
Since you put it that way.
Hell no! Get off your ass and cook yourself. Hey, Mike, looks like we're on our own. You want to order out?
I can cook.
God, no. I've had your cooking before. Hey, I know. You need to meet Joey. Maybe we can get the kid to cook for us.
June snapped.
Vic, that's not nice.
I'm kidding. Lighten up.
Mike laughed. Argmon pointed to himself.
Hey, Mike. Argmon said he'll cook. You up for that?
I'm on my way.
All right. Thanks, Argmon. Let's all eat before we head into port and drop off the shipment.
Argmon smiled and chortled. Vic and Argmon were the first two back to the kitchen, followed closely by SPX-39. SPX-39 tucked himself into a corner and watched Joey intently. His stare was unnerving, even more so than even Argmon's presence. Joey didn't know which one to keep an eye on. Argmon set to work on a cooktop range that pulled out from the wall from in between the upper and lower cabinets. The pots he used were collapsible and reminded Joey of the pots his grandfather used for camping, except these ones folded to be nearly flat. Joey felt the pocket knife in the coveralls he was wearing. It had belonged to his grandfather, and was a camping staple as well.
Eep, eep, eep.
Hey, Dexter, Vic called out. We're making something to eat. Glad you can join us.
Eep, eep, eep.
Joey watched Dexter's three eyes blink out of unison. It had a bottle of orange liquid and took a seat next to June. Joey flushed with jealousy, though he didn't know why he needed to be jealous of some weird creature. The tripod was quiet enough, and Argmon cooked. It was SPX-39, the nervous, neurotic robot that had Joey on edge. The way it stood in the corner, and its head lowered into its body and rose out again to look around the room. It bothered him, and he wasn't sure why. So we're all almost here. You've met everyone except Mike, and I'm not sure where Jupnop is at the moment, Vic said. Joey was prepared for anything. He could hear the multiple footsteps coming along the hallway. So it had more than two legs. That wasn't anything strange. Apparently extra limbs weren't more the exception. What will Mike look like? Joey took a deep breath and prepared himself. Surely Mike couldn't be any stranger than anything else he'd seen so far.
I'm coming, if Jupnop will ooze out of the way, that is.
The voice was close and had to be Mike. Tell Jupnop to hurry up, too, Vic yelled back. Argmon barked. Argmon said to hurry up or you'll be having a burnt dinner.
How do you know what he said? Joey asked.
Vic laughed. Kid, sometimes I have no idea what he says, but if I'm ever wrong, he'd correct me. That much I know.
I'm here. Where's the new shipmate?
It was Mike. Joey wasn't prepared for Mike. As much as he thought he'd prepared for anything, Mike defied all his expectations. Mike's head was large, about twice as large as Joey's, and was covered in a wiry black hair that expanded out in an afro. Not just the top of his head, but in a full beard also. That wasn't the strangest thing about Mike, though. It also wasn't the strangest thing that Mike was hanging from the ceiling. Joey could handle that. Almost. Mike's body had eight long, slender legs, each ending in a hand and gripping the ceiling. Those legs were attached to a body that looked much like a large spider with a bulbous body and flat cephalothorax that merged with his head. A head that didn't move from side to side, but moved with his entire body. Mike was a gigantic spider with a human head. Joey fainted dead away. When he finally came to, June was holding him upright. That was some comfort, having her arm around him put his mind at ease. That was until he noticed he was sitting next to Mike.
So, buddy, where are you from? Are you from the same place as Vic and June?
Joey tried to find words.
Yes, he is, June said for him. It's been a shock, as you can probably guess.
It's been so long since you've been here that I'd forgotten you were scared of me when we first met. Ran down the passageway screaming, if I recall.
Now that was funny, Vic laughed and pointed to June.
Eep, eep, eep.
Even Argmon laughed.
You're all a bunch of jerks.
Joey was sure June would have gotten up and left had she not still been supporting him. He shifted his weight so he was leaning more toward her, but not being held up by her. He'd never been afraid of spiders and wasn't sure why Mike would be any different. Other than being 1,000 times bigger than any other spider he'd ever seen, and having a human head. Well, that, and talking, too. Mike patted Joey on the back.
Welcome to the crew. I'm sure you're going to love it here. And don't worry, I don't bite.
Odd.
Mike smiled. Had he been leaning away from Mike even more? Perhaps it was the look of horror on his face that Mike had actually touched him, as if the spider part of him would somehow rub off. Joey had never been like that, and it was surprising he was acting in such a manner. The robot was one thing. It wasn't really a person. But Mike was, well, a living being. He seemed happy enough.
Thanks, Mike.
It was the toughest two words Joey ever had to say in his life. His throat had constricted so much that it came out as merely a squeak. Mike smiled nonetheless, with a mouthful of square, yellowed teeth.
Don't worry, buddy. I'll show you around the ship. Vic doesn't like coming down to the engineering room. Gets him all confused. I'm looking at you, and I think you're a smart one. You may even understand what I show you down there.
That would be neat.
June took her arm from around Joey. Without the security of her arm, Joey felt naked. All he could do was watch as Mike ate, Those big teeth ground whatever it was that Arkman had cooked with such efficiency that all thoughts of SBX-39 were gone from his mind. Everyone but Joey ate. It smelled good, but he had eaten just a little while ago, and the scare Mike had given him had squashed all thoughts of eating. Jupnop had slimed onto one of the branch-like things Joey had seen in the fridge, and was morphing slightly to resemble it. Several small branches speckled its surface. Joey could only think of how it had tried to eat him. It was gross, but not nearly as scary as Mike. "So, Mike," Vic said in between bites, "you're not going to have a problem getting the engines charged once Tootsie is online."
"Nope, no problem at all. I had started to plot the course before Tootsie crashed. I'm sure she's lost the initial trace, but I've got all the coordinates written down and ready to enter in again."
"Great. Argmon, you remember where the landing platform is? Didn't they have a special platform for us to land on due to the weight?" Argmon shrugged, then nodded his head. "Perfect. June, Dexter, I want the two of you to take Joey here and post the lookout. This is a valuable load, and we don't need anyone getting near it. Joey, you ever shoot a gun before?"
"No."
"Don't worry about it. Just stay near June and Dexter, and try to look menacing. Holding the gun will be enough. After we sell this load, I'll make sure you get a share. We can get you some decent clothes, something a little more appropriate. Those coveralls don't do a thing for your image. Maybe we've got something better for you to try on."
"Image?"
Joey hadn't even thought of his image since he'd arrived. Why should he think about that? "Kid, we're a shipping company. I've got an engineer already. I've got guards. I've got Jupnop, though I'm still not sure what the hell he does. I've got SBX-39 for now, and I've got you. I need to figure out what part of this group you are. We need to dress you for the part."
"Wait a minute. You mean June here in her black and pink outfit? Hey, I don't wear this all the time. This is my casual wear. Wait until you see my security outfit. I spent 2 years getting it just right. And what about Dexter?"
"Kid, don't go getting him all worked up. He doesn't need anything to make himself more imposing. Understand?" Vic leveled his gaze with Joey. It was true. Dexter had knocked him out with blinding speed.
"Got it."
"Good. Now Tootsie is going to be up soon, and once she is, I need to make contact with Planchar so we can drop off this load. And I think you all need to know that the police cruiser that chased us away from Bomda is sitting, as best could tell, in the Munchkata system." June stood up and Joey nearly fell over. He'd still been leaning close to her and away from Mike.
"What? Homeport?"
"Yes."
"I've got plans when we get back. I've had these plans set up for months now, and you're telling me that I'm just going to have to scrap those plans because you got us chased off of Bomda and probably wanted in that system now, too?"
"Hey, how was I supposed to know they only allowed private industry to take Tanindrium off-planet?"
"You could have checked."
Vic shrugged his shoulders.
"I did, a little. Their whole planet is made of this stuff. I didn't think it'd be such a big deal." "I checked, too. They don't want their entire planet mined away, and then they're left with nothing."
"Well, we've got our shipment, and we'll get well paid for it. There's a clause in the contract that if we encounter police pursuit, we get paid double. We can take some time off and lay low until we know where the police cruiser is."
"Didn't you hear me? I've got plans."
Vic stood up. "And I told you..."
"Vic, I'm ready."
Vic slapped the table. "Let's get this shipment to Planchar. I've never been late on a shipment, and I'm not about to start now." June's dark glare could have burned a hole in Vic. Mike jumped up to the ceiling.
"I'll have their engines ready in 5,
and he scampered off. Vic lit a cigarette. He and Argmon went back to the cockpit. Joey felt out of place. Dexter, Jupnop, and SBX-39 all left the room. June sat back down and put her face in her hands and cried. Mike's hands clung to the ceiling as he maneuvered his way to the rear of the ship and back to his engineering room. It had taken a great deal of time, but he'd managed to build a web that spanned across all portions of the ship's ceiling that didn't open, and for the cargo bay, he'd managed to skirt the far walls, so even when the doors were open, the webs wouldn't tear. He was much faster traveling upside down, and it took under a minute to reach the engine room. The room was nothing more than a 10x10 square, but off to either side of the room, tubes disappeared into each of the engines, tubes only Mike could fit down. It was Vic's assumption that it was fate that put Mike on this ship. Mike had been told that Vic was the superstitious type, and to play on that, as well as become the man's friend. Mike succeeded. Mike reached down from the ceiling and pressed the button on a bank of controls. Why they hadn't redesigned the ship so the button to charge the engines was in the cockpit was beyond Mike, but he'd never questioned Vic about this. Vic wasn't very smart.
Engine's charging, Vic. We'll be ready in 5 minutes.
Great. Thanks, Mike. You're the best. Of course he was the best. Mike's placement on the ship had been planned. The boss had made sure Mike was here. Mike was to also make sure that Vic didn't get into any trouble until everything was set up. Big plans were in store for Vic. Plans the man knew nothing about. When Mike had supposedly stumbled upon Vic, it was very convenient that their engineer had been thrown in jail. The boss had planned that, as well as how to get Mike to meet Vic. In a fight. Vic was a sucker to save someone in a fight. It was tough for Mike to throw the fight, but Vic lived up to his reputation and fought on Mike's behalf. And the deal was sealed. Vic needed an engineer, and Mike was there to fill the billet. At the time, Vic had only Argmon, June, and Dexter. It wasn't until much later that they'd found Jupnop trying to chew on an intolerable barkeep's leg, and Vic was there to save the wretched creature. Worthless piece of slime Jupnop was, and Mike had tried more than once to be rid of it. Then there was that pitiful hunk of scrap SPX-39. Mike shook his head. Now there was the boy to be concerned about. That wasn't something Mike had planned for, and the boss hadn't either. He was going to want to know about this development right away. There was precious little time. Barely 4 minutes, and even then it would be cutting it close. Mike scampered up into the webbing in the top of the room. The rest of the crew, the boy, Joey, included, all hated spiders, and wouldn't dream of entering Mike's web. That played to his favor. He had built a funnel in the furthest corner of the room, and there was communication equipment hidden away there. Equipment that would allow him to contact the boss, and no one else on the ship would be any the wiser. Inside the funnel, Mike donned his headset and flipped the switch on the small black box.
"Boss, this is Mike."
There was a long wait of static. Mike didn't want to wait. He needed to speak to the boss right away. He closed his eyes and counted to 10. If there was no response in that time, he would have to try again later. He was on 7 when the response came.
"Report."
The voice was harsh and gravelly.
"Boss, there's a new crew member."
"How is that possible? You weren't unbombed long enough to pick up another crew member. This one just appeared."
"Appeared?"
Mike thought of how to explain it.
"Well, you remember how I told you that June got here?"
"Yes."
"I'm guessing it's the same way."
"So the machine still works. Do you know what year the boy came from?"
"Year?
Never mind. It's not that important yet. I will find out later. I want you to keep a close eye on those three. They will be taking a challenge soon. I need you to do whatever you can to foil that challenge."
"What's the challenge?"
"You'll know when it happens, I assure you. It is highly important that they take it. You must make sure they do so."
"That might not be so easy."
The boss strained to grow louder.
"I'm not paying you to do something easy. Just make sure they accept that challenge. Do you understand?"
Mike paused. This was the first time in over a year that the boss had raised his voice. Mike could hear the tension in the voice. This had to be important. This was what he had been put here for. Almost a year of waiting and working with the crew of the SS Acid Rat, and it was all going to pay off soon. He had to contain his excitement.
"I understand."
The boss's voice resumed its normal drone.
"Very good. You've been patient and loyal. This will be worthwhile, I assure you.
Do I get to keep the money I've earned as a member of this crew?"
"Absolutely. That was money earned. Just be prepared for some difficult assignments once they've accepted this challenge."
"Can't you tell me anything about it?"
"Not at this time. Just check in with me often once you've landed on Planchar and made this delivery."
A beep sounded from below in the room.
"I've got to go. We're about to jump to hyperspace."
"Keep me informed of the progress, and let me know once the challenge has been accepted. Vic's ego won't let him turn this down."
"I will let you know."
Mike broke the connection and hastily removed the headset. It stuck in the web next to the box. After scrambling out of the web, Mike called out,
"Vic, we're ready to go."
"I hope everyone's strapped in."
Mike landed in a chair and buckled himself in, just as the engine sounded up, and the ship entered hyperspace. He thought he noticed something oozing out the doorway, but couldn't be sure. The ship came out of hyperspace on the outskirts of the Planchar system.
"Kid, we're coming out of hyperspace. Get up here. You've got to see this."
Vic knew that Joey would appreciate entering a star system. Planchar wasn't anything amazing, but it would be fun to see his reaction. Joey appeared.
What's up? Whoa!
Vic had brought the ship close to the system's largest planet, a gas planet. He didn't know the name, but it was about twice the size of Jupiter. When they'd taken the job, he did a flyby, and he was impressed by the sight of it. Purples and oranges swirled together in thick bands across the rainbow of thinner bands. Just like Jupiter, this one had a significant number of moons, and Vic had Argmon plot a course that would take them past a couple.
Is that...
Joey didn't finish his question. It's a planet, one of the biggest I've ever seen, and I thought you'd like to see that. Vic was right. Joey continued to stare out the window. Vic put his hand on Argmon's arm to get him to slow the ship a little. Argmon curled his lip disapprovingly, but Vic knew they would still make it in plenty of time. He wanted the kid to get a good look. This was, after all, Joey's first time. We're going to use this planet's gravity to swing around and come in close to Planchar.
Why didn't you just, I don't know, stop closer to the planet?
For being amazed, the kid sure was ungrateful. I figured you'd want to see this. You could at least say thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, go sit down. Vic turned to face Argmon. Take us to Planchar. The kid doesn't want to take the scenic route.
I didn't say that. I was just, I don't know, I thought you were on a time schedule. We had to get this, what is it?
Tanindrium.
Yeah, Tanindrium. To the planet as quickly as possible.
We do. I just thought you might appreciate looking at the sights. We can look at them on the way back out. Go and sit back down. Vic was annoyed. Here he wanted to show him something, and all Joey could think about was work. And June accused Vic of being dedicated to his job. June, Dexter, suit up. We land in 30.
Right, Vic,
June's voice said over the con. Joey had sulked back into the passageway. Hey, kid, you need something to do? Joey's face lit up as he turned around.
Yes?
I need you to go back and see if June and Dexter need any help. This is a valuable load for our clients, and I want to make sure it gets to the right people.
Is security really that big of a problem?
Kid, you've got a lot to learn. Vic turned around. There's several different factions on this planet, and all of them would want to get their hands on this stuff. We've got it. They want it. Our client is paying top dollar to make sure this gets to the right place. We're going to do that.
So security is a big issue.
You've got it.
What do I do?
Vic smiled. He'd just gotten rid of Joey's skulking attitude and instilled him with a sense of responsibility. As the smile faded from his lips, he could only wish he'd ever had to talk like this with his father. Even though the year span on Earth would have been 35 or 40 years between him and Joey, he could be this kid's grandfather for crying out loud. It was only 7 or 8 in this strange future they were in. Vic wanted to make sure Joey didn't have the feeling of impending doom. See if June has a suit for you, and suit up.
Suit?
You'll see when you get down there. Go. Joey turned and started running, then turned back.
Vic, where am I going?
Keep going past the lounge and into the cargo bay. June will be down there getting ready.
Vic?
Joey looked back at the deck shyly and then lifted his head.
Thanks.
Vic nodded. When Vic sat down, Argmon was laughing his throaty laugh that told Vic the four-armed dog-faced mutt thought the whole exchange was humorous. What's so funny? Vic narrowed his eyes and furrowed his brow. Argmon punched Vic. Hey, the kid needed to hear something to make him feel better. He didn't want to see the system, and I made him feel bad, so I decided to give him something to do to keep his mind off things. What's so bad about that? Argmon shrugged. Well, I just hope he can keep out of trouble on this one. The last thing we need is something to mess this one up. Argmon nodded in agreement. The planet and moons left the viewport and drifted away behind the ship. They had picked up speed. No sense in wasting time if there was no one around to care what they saw. Vic could enjoy the view at high speed. He'd done this hundreds of times before, and this time would be no different. Tootsie!
Yes, Vic,
the computer said in its sweet tone. When we're coming in for landing, I need you to send our correct ship numbers to Planchar and request a landing vector. Can you handle that? A pause.
I'm sure I can handle that. Currently, we are 65 minutes, 45 seconds from landing.
Thank you, Tootsie. I'm going to take a nap. Wake me when we're 20 minutes out.
Will do, Vic.
It's all you, buddy. Vic patted Argmon on the shoulder. I need to get a little sleep before we land. Man's got to look his best, you know. Argmon sighed and shook his head as Vic put his feet up on the console and leaned back in his chair.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0.
Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as jrmurdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.